We are going to open our Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 13 to begin with today. I'd like to sing a chorus as we go into the Word of God. I'd also like to pray one more time because we certainly do need the Lord's help. I look at the task that is before me here this morning and I don't even know if I can do it, but I'm trusting that the Lord will help me. These messages get very, very heavy sometimes. And if you don't like to hear about Bible prophecy, you're no doubt in the wrong place. Amen. I'll just tell you that right now. But if you believe in the Word of God and you want to hear about what's happening, what is to come, and to know that the testimony of Jesus is the very spirit of prophecy, then you're in the right place. If that's what you want, and we all, I believe, want to draw closer to God. Amen. Before we sing our chorus, I'd like to pray. Father in heaven, we do thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy holy word that we respectfully have before us, knowing that without Thee we can do nothing. And I put my trust in Thee, Lord, and I pray that all the congregation and all those listening on the internet worldwide and all of those that will receive these messages later, I pray they will likewise be touched mightily by Thy Spirit and drawn closer to Thee. For we need to be made ready for Thy soon coming, for the awesome day of Thine appearing, O Lord. And now I pray that Thou wouldst be with us. Let the enemy who would so willingly oppose us, let him be driven out. Let him have no power to interfere with anything that we do as we do this for Thee, O God. Let Satan have no power at all over us. And let Thy name be glorified, Lord Jesus, through the power of the saving blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary and through Thy mighty and holy name, O Lord. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're going to sing a little chorus. The words are very simple. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. That's actually a scripture verse. I'd like to sing that with you. Greater is He that is in me, greater is He that is in me, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, greater is He that is in me, greater is He that is in me, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, greater is He that is in me, greater is He that is in me, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Once more, greater is He that is in me, greater is He that is in me, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Give the Lord a hand praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank God. Praise the Lord. There are some verses to that, but I just wanted to get that chorus going here because it's so true. And you know, if it weren't true, we'd be in some real trouble. Amen. We are, especially right now, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but things are continually falling apart in this world, fulfilling Bible prophecy. You know, we lost $1 trillion again last week. How can you keep losing $1 trillion? You know, and most of it was retirement funds. Now they're sending letters out to people telling them, if you were considering retiring next year, wait another 10 years or you won't get anything. Well, you know, I don't think if they waited another 10 years, they're going to get anything either, but that just shows how things are. You know, there's nothing in this world you can depend upon because Satan's footprints are everywhere, walking to and fro in the earth, up and down in it. It's kind of like that. If you've ever been in the United Nations, anybody here? Been in the UN? Yeah, you go in there in the General Assembly. And they've got this, I was right in there a number of times. One time I walked right up to the podium and stood there, and they had a blue candle burning. The President Clinton at the time, had just been there making a speech. Now, we know Bill Clinton isn't the Antichrist, but he did very well until the real one came along. But anyway, he had just been there, and they had a blue candle lighted, and I went up there, and I just rebuked the whole thing, lifted my hands under that big emblem that they've got. It reminded me of Satan, because the emblem is actually a globe, and the globe complete with the meridians in there and the parallels, to and fro, up and down, and the view of it is from the utmost north, which is where Lucifer wanted to rise to, remember? That he wanted to ascend into the heights of the clouds, be like the Most High, to ascend up into the sides of the north. Well, in the UN, that's what they've got. And if you ever see that emblem, of course, it's surrounded by two wheat sheaves crossing each other. And there are exactly 13 kernels of wheat on each side, and not counting the stems. It's the symbology of that is absolutely amazing. But when you look at that, you can't help but think, yep, that's Satan walking to and fro in the earth and up and down in it, and he's still doing it. He was cast down to this earth. He refers to himself as the God of this world. He wants to be worshipped. That's why he's got churches set up all over the place with all the different names to confuse people. These people are out, they worship, as Jesus said, ye worship, ye know not what. They don't even know what they're doing. They come in, they sit down, they go through the motions. They recite the creeds, they pray the beads, whatever they do at their particular church. These people, they go in, they think they'll join a church that'll save their soul. And they go into the Catholic Church, and what do? They get Catholicized. They go into the Lutheran Church, they get Lutheranized. They go into the Methodist Church, they get Methodized. They go to the Presbyterian Church, they get Presbyteriorated. They go to the Episcopalian Church, they get Episcopalianated. And on and on and on. But they don't know the Lord. They have not the Spirit. That's why they vote for Barack Obama. Can you believe a nation so blind, deceived, and foolish as to clamor after an obvious anti-God, baby-killing character like that? Oh, I'm not supposed to get political? You know, the Masons always say, we're not religious, we're not a religion rather, and we're not political. That's all they are. They are a religion and they are political. That's what it's all about. Of course, John could tell you. He was one once. The Lord saved him out of it. Isn't that great that God has power to save even the Masons? He can save to the uttermost. Well, what we're going to do today is try to continue on with a message I started 2 weeks ago, continued last week, and part three should do it. I don't know if it will or not. But Satan's final blueprint is what we're talking about. And we've been a number of places in the Scripture. We were in Revelation 13. We touched on chapter 18 a little bit last time. And we know from what we studied thus far in the 13th chapter of Revelation that there are two beasts of the end time. Two beasts, not one, two. And the first beast has a rider, known as the great whore, the false Christianity, the decoy. Not just Roman Catholicism, although she is the mother of harlots. Being a mother, she has daughters. And all those that carried her spiritual genetics with them, doctrines of Rome, are still a part of Rome. All the false things that they took from their mother harlot. And you see all these denominations out there. All these, you know, and there are no divisions in the body of Christ, are there? Then why are there over 200 different denominations? But there's no divisions in the body of Christ. It's because they are not the body of Christ. They've taken the story of Calvary. They made symbols out of it. How many symbols does God have? None. The Lord said unto what will you liken me? There are no symbols that represent God. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord dwells within us, and we are living epistles known and read of all men. If they can't see Jesus in you, hanging a big old cross around your neck isn't going to tell anybody anything. Am I getting controversial yet? Anyway, it's true. And all of these religions out there are counterproductive, work against Jesus Christ. These ministers were cranked down the assembly line and a conveyor belt of some cemetery. Would have been right, huh? And down there, and they send them off to churches and stick them in there. They don't know the Lord. They give them a little collar to wear. They give them a black robe to put on and a white one to put over the black one. Wolves in sheep's clothing. And away they go. Deceiving and being deceived. Well, we know there are two beasts. The first one is a mixture, remember, of all the ancient empires. You find the symbology and the religion, the gods and goddesses, the pantheon of paganism, all these things all rolled together in that first beast, which has part of Babylon in it, part of Medo-Persia in it, part of Greece in it, part of Rome in it. And I'll tell you what I think. I believe this country, the United States of America, the land of the deceived and home of the depraved, is that first beast. And I'll tell you why. Is there any other country in the world that is such an admixture and conglomerate of so many different kinds of people, so many different kinds of customs, so many different kinds of religion? Even the English language is a composite of many languages, all forming what we call American English. And of course, that's gone through some devolution of its own. Do you ever hear the young people talk? I think they know about 20 words total, their vocabulary, 20, 25 maybe. Half of them start with an F. Most of them are four letters. Can I be blunt with you? What's going on out there? What happened to this, as one president called it, great society? Well, it never was as great as they thought it was. And by the way, if you haven't noticed this yet, politicians generally make a lot of promises they know they're never going to keep. But yet people are swept away with those lies, with those deceits, with the craftiness of it all. Yes, there is a beast, and that first beast with seven heads and ten horns. Do you ever wonder why, if you look at the world, the whole world has been divided up into ten segments by the Club of Rome under the direction of the late Aurelio Pache, the head of the Club of Rome, which is an offshoot of the Illuminati, a task force like under the Trilateral Commission, but with a little different twist. The world's been divided into ten segments. So has the Federal Reserve. And by the way, there are ten Arab nations that make up the whole conglomerate of an organization that controls the oil and the other Arab wealth. That number 10 is of major significance, and God does use numbers. If you read your Bible, you can't miss it. In fact, he tells us there's one big one to watch out for in the last days, and that is 666. 600, 666. And by the way, if you take the pyramid on the back of your dollar bill, which is a three-sided pyramid, actually, but you only see the front of it, and then you take the Roman numerals at the base of the pyramid and assign them in order, starting with a capstone at the top. Take the first Roman numeral, which is an M, which is 1,000, and then put the D in the left corner, and then the C in the right corner, and keep following that pattern with the three pyramids, the three sides of it, straight across. you'll find the base of the pyramid adds up to 666. In other words, the mark of the beast is right on our dollar bill. It is in many other ways as well. The symbology on that thing is astounding. It marks our country. There's something wrong here somewhere. Of course, we know that when the Mayflower came over here, over half of the people on it were witches escaping from Scotland from the persecution there. They ended up over here. A lot of Freemasons were over here. Nearly all of the officers in the Continental Army were Freemasons. And nearly half of the soldiers in the Continental Army were Freemasons. So there was a lot of witchcraft, a lot of things going on, a lot of darkness that was in this land from the very outset. Now, there is a beast mentioned in the first half of this chapter 13, and we read about the description of it. And of course, the second beast, beginning with verse 11 of Revelation 13, I'm just recapping here from last week, and then we'll move on. But in chapter 11, lo and behold, there is a second beast. This second beast has two horns, like a lamb. In other words, it comes as one of peace. Right? You look at the Islamic religion, and what is their famous word that they use all the time? Salam. 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 Peace, peace, peace. And yet there would be one who would come in the last days who through peace would destroy many. We know that in the Islamic religion, in the Quran, that there is a two-horned one. I mentioned it last week. Dhul-Qarnayn, he is called. The two-horned one. Who would come from the east and go to the utmost west, the occidental nations, east is oriental, west is occidental, as in Occidental Petroleum, so forth. The Occidentals, the round eyes, as they're called. That he would go to the utmost west, and there the messenger of Islam, the two-horned one, would determine if the people of the west would be treated kindly or if they would be punished, depending on whether or not they would accept Islam. And I'm going to tell you right now, a vote for Barack Obama is a vote for Islam. There is a two-horned one. One coming with peace. Salam. Salam. And as I said last week, with all those salamis around, there's bound to be a lot of baloney. Isn't that right? It's a false system. It's anti-Christ. Well, isn't it something if you go over and you can look at that Dome of the Rock mosque over there, the Mosque of Omar, and in big letters it says, God has no son. Put it right up there for all to see. God has no son. I'll tell you what, there is an only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Savior, and He is your only hope. And not far from the Dome of the Rock, where they're saying, the Muslims say, God has no son. Not all that far from it is the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, where the Jewish people are praying. And of course, what are they praying? When you think about it, it's kind of amazing how they missed something. They missed the Savior. Now they can still receive Him. And so they stand at that wall, and the emphasis of the entire prayer is on the temple. Great is the Lord, mighty is He, soon will He rebuild His temple. Speedily, speedily, in our day, rebuild, O God, Thy temple. Actually, what they're saying is, Adirhu, Adirhu, Yivne Vecho Bekorov, Bimhero, Bimhero, Biyomenu Bekorov, El Bene, El Bene, Bene Vecho Bekorov. Which is Hebrew for what I just said before. That's old ancient Hebrew which simply means they're looking for the temple to be rebuilt. But you know, Jesus is the temple. He is the mediator of the new covenant. He is the one that we come to. And that door is wide open no matter what race is seeking Him. And I'll tell you, before this message is over, I will be accused by some people out there, I don't think in here, but some out there, of being a racist. And it has nothing to do with race at all. I'm talking about spiritual things here. I'm talking about activities of demons, of evil spirits. And they have gotten into the lines of certain segments of people. But it's not race that we are discussing here. It's spiritual activity. And anybody who is intellectually honest should understand that from the context of what's being said and from what the Bible says. But I'll guarantee you, I know I've made a lot of enemies lately and will probably make more. But if I don't tell the truth, I'm wasting my time and yours. There is a second beast rising up. It is Islam. It's the two-horned one. And it's that second beast that brings forth a new money system. What does he do? Well, we can look at it again. Because I know that sometimes people's minds wander and they miss things. I know how that works. It's happened to me too. And it doesn't hurt to hear part of this again because it lays the foundation for the rest of what we're going to do. But in Revelation 13, in verse 11, it says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Have you ever heard Obama speak? He said, "The moment I'm elected, the entire world will change." What did Hitler say? "We bring the world to order." The whole world's going to change. New world order. Obama is a different color than Hitler was, but he's got the same message. Hitler was a socialist. He started the Nazi and now Socialist Deutsche Arbeitenpartei, National Socialist German Workers' Party. And by the way, NBC News, I believe it was NBC, I saw a little video clip on this, had an interview with Joe Biden, and Joe Biden was ready to pound his fist. He was so mad at the questions that were being asked. He was asked the question, "Mr. Biden, Senator Biden, what can you tell the people that think that Barack Obama is a Marxist socialist because he wants to spread the wealth around and all that?" And he said, "I don't know who wrote your questions." He's kind of dodging it. And then he kind of dissected it a little bit and tried to make it, "Oh, that isn't what I said at all, and he's not like that," and this Joe the Plumber thing, you know, take the plumber, the working man's wealth and spread it all over the place, all equal. Like that old Peter, Paul, and Mary song, "Too Much of Nothing." Anybody remember that? How he's going to take his money, take my salary, and cast it into the waters of oblivion to spread it all over the place? Hey, they were preaching socialism for a long time now. This is nothing new, but it's different now. People are buying into it. They said it could never happen here, but it is happening here. The second beast is rising up. Of course, it was Barack Obama who said, and I heard him say it. He said, "If my daughters made a mistake and got pregnant, I don't want them to be punished with a baby." So now it's a punishment to have a baby. That's what goes on inside that guy's head. Now you'll notice I have never told anybody here how to vote. If you want to know how I'm going to vote, I vote in my closet of prayer, but everybody has their own thing that they can do. But we are in, what's going to happen is going to happen. And I think they already know the exact numbers of the results. That's all predetermined. I remember in a off year, where they had a race for senators and governors and so forth, I was down in North Carolina, near Concord, North Carolina, between Concord and Kannapolis. I was staying with friends. And I got on his computer, my friend's computer, and it was election eve. It was the night before election day. And I got on, I found a news site on there. It was one of the big networks, I believe it was ABC, if I remember right. And they posted all the election results, the totals, the day before the election. The guy who did it was fired. I printed it out. And then it disappeared off the net. They already know who they're going to put in there. But they got this little placebo thing. They let you go down and think you're doing something. They let you go behind the curtain and pull the little lever, push the little thing through, because then you feel good. I cast my vote. Yeah, you cast your vote, all right. Cast it? That word bothers me too. I don't even like the word forecast, as in casting a spell. This is what it's going to do. This is what it's going to be. But they want you to be able to feel like you're doing something. The people of the United States are the most deceived people in the entire world because they think they're free. They think they have something called money when it's paper confetti. And now the bailout begins. And one of the things they started with is the executives of these companies have paid themselves bonuses. Failed companies have paid themselves bonuses totaling $20 billion. How do you like them apples? What am I doing? Why do I tell you these things? If you've got any hope in this world, I'm going to yank it out from under you. Because I want you to put your trust in Jesus Christ and Him only. Come on. That is what we must do. This second beast speaks like a dragon, a baby-killing, socialistic, ungodly dragon. Of course, the dragon is Satan. Now, what does he do? He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. What is the power of the first beast? Satan. The dragon. And he causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now, this first beast should have been destroyed, but somehow is still alive. And we can go back a little ways into history to see how that all came about. But it says, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. I'll never forget that clip I saw of him standing there saying, you will see a light from above, from somewhere. And you will hear a voice saying, vote for Obama. And you will experience an epiphany. Huh? Now that's audacity, I would say. This one who was called the One, then the Chosen One, then the Anointed One, and now they're calling Him the Messiah. These are words that are resonating through the land. But some people are beginning to wonder, did you know that there are 500,000 hits a day through Google and Yahoo requesting information as to whether or not Barack Obama is the Antichrist? Well, that's a lot of people wondering, getting religious all of a sudden, aren't they? Or is it fear? Whatever it is, their inquiring minds want to know. I think they need to get in the Bible and they'll see some things they've never seen before. Yes, he will deceive those on the earth. It says, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Now, when we say miracles here, we're talking about manufactured miracles. Through technology, if you look at a computer and how it operates, it seems like a miracle, doesn't it? A machine that can talk to you, carry on a conversation with you, process information, straighten you out. Something that has no heart, but it has a voice. It can make decisions. And as the computer on that spaceship in 2001, a space odyssey said, "You know you can't run this ship without me." We live in an age where you cannot run this world without those devices. And the Antichrist, with his control that he comes into, will no doubt use that system. And it says, "Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live." Now, you're going back to the first. Remember, this is all Satan's power. Satan was dealt a deadly wound, a head wound, by the Savior. "It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel." Remember? But he goes on for a time. We're going to go back in the Old Testament and put this all together, way back to Genesis in just a little bit. "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak." Have you ever talked to the beast? Did you ever make a telephone call where a machine does it for you? Just about all of them now. And they'll route you anywhere in the world. You got a computer problem, you call up, all of a sudden you get somebody you can't understand that knows all about it. How to fix your computer, but you can't understand what they're saying. I talked to one person one time, I had a little technical problem. I said, "Now what do I do here?" And I said, "Where are you?" You know? "India." "Why over there? Are there no people here that know how to do a job like that?" "No, I understand why. We have this thing called globalism. And all kinds of different institutions have been set up to facilitate globalism, one worldism." Well, I'm glad we can reach out to people. You know, these folks from Australia are coming in Tuesday to get baptized. All the way from Melbourne, Australia. They'll be here next Sunday as well, Wednesday night and next Sunday. I talked to a man recently from out east, a man who's a former jiu-jitsu instructor. God took him out of that. Police officer, working as special federal police right now. He wants to come and get baptized in Jesus' name and get out of the job that he's doing. You never know who the Lord's going to touch. Talked to he and his wife both, and they're planning to come out, hopefully within the next 2 weeks, to get baptized in Jesus' name and completely yield to God. The Lord's already touched him mightily. He said, "I want to get out of this job that I'm doing. Special federal police." Isn't it great how the Lord works? God still works. You see, He's in charge, no matter what they do. We talk about these things, this power of the beast seems almost universal, but it's not. God has a remnant. And He's with His people, always. Now, there's this image of the beast that speaks. And notice this, "and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." A machine that, an image, machine, whatever have you, that would sentence you to death for nonconformity. Do you see the framework of this already in our land? "And he causeth." Now watch the word there. Causeth. Brings about the conditions. Now I want you to pay close attention to that word, because you get these images sometimes of them grabbing you and forcing a mark on you. Oh no, they go down and they willingly get it. They were caused to receive it. They were given a cause. There would be a time that would come when there would be a big change in the nation and in the world. When the money system we have no longer works and cannot be put back together again. worldwide depression. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive. They receive it. They take it willingly. How many people out there that are waving and screaming and shouting and swooning and fainting in front of Barack Obama, how many of those people think he's the Antichrist? None of them. He's the Messiah. The Messiah of change. Change to what? In just a minute or two, we're going to go back and see what the Bible says about the Antichrist and how he operates and what he intends to do. But he causes all of them to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. I got to just say again, I am still shocked at what I heard that man say. That having a baby is punishment? That if his daughters were pregnant, he would want them to have an abortion? He wouldn't want them to have the punishment of a baby. Well, his mother must have been punished with him. And the whole world as well. That by accident of birth, character that is now arising from nowhere, from the Chicago gangland, the Chicago political machine. By the way, Chicago is now the number one murder capital of the entire United States. He's got something to be proud of in his realm. There's something about the Windy City, you know? The heritage that it has with all the gangsters, Al Capone and all these other characters. Remember? Still hasn't lived that one down, has it? Of course, the Pope fixed it up. Even after the Pope was there, you know, then it became number one murder capital, right? But people, to show you how people can be so deceived and disillusioned, and I shouldn't say disillusioned, how they can be, suffer from delusion. When the Pope went there to Chicago, he stood up and he did the mass over Lake Michigan. That poor lake. Feel sorry for the fish. Oh, he wears that fish hat. You know, he's the god of the fish, see? Got that fish head hat? See, there's something very fishy about Roman Catholicism. Fish on Friday, fish hat on the Pope, fish hat on the cardinals, fish hats on the bishops. That pointed hat is the head of a fish. The Philistine priests used to wear the very same thing for their god Dagon, the fish god. Of course, there's some people out there that think the fish is a symbol of Christianity too. Christianity has no symbols. Blessed is he that has not seen and yet has believed. God's not a god of many symbols and so forth. He works through you. But anyway, so the Pope comes into Chicago and he does his little hocus-pocus thing over the lake, right? That's what the Mass is, hocus-pocus. What does the Pope say, or what does the Pope say in Latin? Hoc est corpus meum. From which you get the word hocus-pocus, from hoc est corpus. That's where it came from. You can check it out if you want to. That's a Roman Catholic stage magician. And then the Chicago Sun-Times, Chicago Tribune, all the papers. Oh, it was so wonderful to have the Holy Father in our city. The Holy Father. And they said, when the presence of His Holiness stood there that day, and I believe it was a Tuesday, that the crime rate plummeted down to practically nothing. In that city of Chicago with all the crime, all the horrendous things, the crime rate went down to just about nothing as the Pope stood there. And people thought, oh yes, His Holiness, the Holy Father, you know, he squelched all that crime. What really happened is nearly every criminal in Chicago is a devout Roman Catholic. And they took the day off to go see the Pope, so they didn't work that day. That's why the rate went down. That's what happened. But they never thought of that, did they? They needed to put that in the paper, front page of the Sun Times, huh? Anyway, notice now, it's the second beast that brings forth the new money system. Not the first one. The two-horned beast, the Muslim beast, the Islamic beast. The strange one who comes from nowhere. Kind of interesting too, you know, his own grandmother over in Hawaii claims up and down that Barack Obama was born in Kenya. Now a federal judge threw out the lawsuit. There was a lawsuit that to disqualify him as being president. Wouldn't you know it, one of these federal judges came, they're easy to find, they're a dime a dozen, these characters, and threw the thing out. Close to election day, so there's not time to put another case together. But his own grandmother absolutely asserts that he was born in Kenya. And suddenly she took sick. Now, you know, you might say, now, Pastor Meyer, who would be so vile as to be involved in a conspiracy like that against his own grandmother? Just wait. I used to get these poison pen letters when Bush became president. As bad as he is, if Obama gets in there, you might wish you had him back. It's a terrible thought, but likely to be true. Anyway, who would be so vile? But I used to get these poison pen letters, you know. But what a great Christian George Bush was. One person said, don't you realize he spent time with Billy Graham? Well, that tells me right there he couldn't be a Christian. Billy Graham's a Mason. 33rd degree Scottish Rite. He was entered, passed, and raised in a lodge as a Master Mason. Raised as a Master Mason down in a Louisiana lodge. The Louisiana, I don't recall the city it was in right now. Oh, how I wish 100 times over I would have printed that out, because that website disappeared. But they had him listed as entered, passed, and raised. And another former 33rd degree Mason turned evangelist admitted that Billy Graham was there at his initiation of the 33rd degree. Oh, yes. But I got these letters, oh, how terrible I was, coming against George Bush, calling him evil and all this kind of thing. And you know what? I think if you look back now, we can see there was some trouble. He embroiled us in a war for no reason, bankrupted our country, has literally done the work of an Antichrist, time and time and time again, lying through his flossed teeth. But as the Bible says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There is a system coming now of necessity because of the failure of our economy, where no one's going to be able to buy or sell. Well, let's read it. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And then the number is given. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. The second beast, the two-horned one, the dual quarnain of Islam, whose symbol is the crescent moon, which has two horns, one on each end. Two sharp horns on a crescent moon. You've seen their symbol, haven't you? You ever looked at a shriner's fez? That funny hat they wear? All the symbols of Islam. And their secret words, Mecca Nemesis. Very Arabic, very Islamic. Where did all this begin? Do you ever wonder, how could we possibly get here from there? Do you ever drive down the road? You're driving along, you know what city's coming next, and all of a sudden you're driving along, you went through that little town or whatever, and you didn't really notice it, because you're driving, all suddenly hit you, hey, I just went through there. Yeah, it gets past you. You just don't, you know, your mind somehow blanks out certain things. It's an amazing phenomenon when that happens. But right now our whole country is going through it. They're missing something. They're entering into a snare, and it's for their life. Now, how did all this begin? Let's go back in the Bible. Clear back to Genesis. Chapter 21. There is a controversy, and it's an amazing one, because Islam, the Muslim religion, has a complete hatred for Christianity and for the Jews. You knew that, didn't you? An absolute hatred. In fact, they're sworn to kill all infidels. Now, some people say, oh, these Muslims are nice people. They're friendly people. If they're true to the Quran, they're ready to swing a sword and lop your head off. They are people of the sword, people of the scimitar, the curved sword, men of the blade, right? A people that are known for beheading other people. These nice people, you see. You know, if they know their religion, if they follow the Quran, it's not nice. It's vile, and it's wicked. Now notice something. Way back in Genesis 21, you go down to verse 9, it says, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Remember, Abraham was promised a son, and he was getting old, and Sarah was way, way past her time. How could this be? And in the wavering of faith, Sarah said, Abraham, you might as well take another woman, because obviously it's not going to be me that's the mother. That moment of wavering faith produced another nation. Not just a son, but what was to become a billion Muslims. Because the Muslim religion was perpetuated through the offshoot of the Semitic people, the Arabs, and I'll show you the Edomites, the Idumeans, and so forth. Watch what happens here. Abraham had a son by Hagar. And Hagar was an Egyptian. Wherefore, the second Sunday in a row we had a rushing mighty wind here. This is getting interesting. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, I'm referring to those listening on the recording, it's windy outside. Whistling, howling wind. Nice backdrop. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So God was saying to Abraham, listen to what your wife is saying. She knows. God had put it in her heart. Is it possible for God to use women? All the time. Some people don't think so, but He does. Okay? Now some of these, couple of these women are kind of looking around at their husbands. What a scripture verse! Where God says to the husband, listen to your wife! Verse 13 says, and also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. So from the seed of Ishmael would come races of people. There'd be merging and so forth of races, till finally a massive people would be produced that would have a different religion. And that's the way it is right now. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Now, a nation was started here. And the Ishmaelites were actually the ones that carried Joseph into Egypt, remember? They were itinerant peddlers. They were in the business of trading. And they traveled, primarily slave trading. And the brothers, in envy, the brothers of Joseph sold him to the Ishmaelites. They took him into the land of Egypt. Eventually, all Israel ended up in the land of Egypt. Now, God had a plan in all of this, but it's amazing how it all works. That's the first step. Now go with me, still in Genesis. Let's go over to chapter 27. Here's the next phase. Twins had been born. Jacob and Esau, Isaac and Rebekah, had twin sons. Esau is a name that means red. Remember when he was a baby, he came out of the womb and he was red, had red hair all over his body. Very hairy little baby. They could have named him Harry, but they named him Esau, which means red. Well, it was prophesied, it was said to this travailing mother, Rebecca, that there were two nations in her womb because there were so many struggles. You talk about a struggling baby in a womb. There were two of them in there and they were fighting it out. God said there's two nations in there. Now we know that after Esau was born, and Jacob as well, that later on Esau took two wives, both of them were Assyrian Hittites, and they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. It's really something how your children can start trying to pick the wrong spouse and becomes a grief of mind to the parents, doesn't it? Well, anyway, as Esau grew older, There came a day when he was out hunting. We know the story. We understand it very well. How Jacob caused him to sell his birthright because he was the firstborn. And Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. There was a counter trade transaction that took place there. A sale was made. And Esau thought, well, I'm so hungry, I'm at the point of death, I'm starving here. What good is my birthright if I'm dead? He was hungry. That's what you call hunger. Sold his birthright. And later on, we know that Rebecca, through deception, disguised Jacob to receive the blessing. And he got it. And as his father said, he shall be blessed. And then Esau, when he came in and found out his brother had also taken his blessing as well as his birthright, cried out, the Bible says, with an exceeding great cry. In fact, let's pick up right there. Genesis 27. And it tells us in verse 34, and when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered. Remember, two nations here now. Not just two men. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth. In other words, you're going to be very rich and wealthy, your descendants. Is there any wealth at all among the Arab Islamic people? And of the dew of heaven from above, and by thy sword shalt thou live. Are there a people of the sword whose symbol is a sword? See, there was a merging of the Ishmaelites with the Assyrian Hittites, and now with Esau. And they dwelt in the high places called Edom, which is the same as Esau, which means red. I'll come back to that point in a moment. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion. Notice, the time would come when the Muslims, the Arabs, the Edomites would be able to cast. It says, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. For a little while they would gain dominion. Does the Bible say that for a little while an Antichrist would gain the dominion? And in the similitude of the prophecy, you can find all kinds of fulfillments because that's how prophecy works. It's an ongoing progression toward the final fulfillment at the very end. Some people say, oh, that's been fulfilled already. But look, you can find it's been fulfilled 2, 3, 4 times in measure and is still going on. You understand what I'm saying? People get all mixed up on prophecy. They don't understand that there is a final culmination of every prophecy at the very end. And we're living in that time. That's why we're seeing all these things. That the yoke would be thrown off and a wealthy people would rise up in dominion. The children of Edom, of Idumea, the Herods came. The Herods were Idumeans. Baby-killing Herod was an Idumean. I'm not a racist, but they were dark-skinned people. Anybody going to throw anything at me yet? You know, if you're intellectually honest, you're going to have to say, no, it's not racism, it's just a fact. And it's significant. Because we've got a dark-skinned president, wannabe president, God forbid, who has been trained in Islamic schools. In fact, in Jakarta, Indonesia, he went to an extremist school. He's got a Muslim heart beating in there. He's rising up. You know, they're showing pictures of him all over the place with a ball of light behind him forming a halo. Now, you and I who know the Lord, the Bible says He will be revealed to us. God said He would reveal the Antichrist to His people in His time. And He's going to show us things. So, that period of time would come when they'd throw the yoke off and take the dominion. Now, let's look at something else. These became the Arab people. By the way, the color red, Edomites, those of Esau, Idumean, so forth. Edom means red. Esau means red. Rothschild means red shield. Rockefeller comes from a French name that means red leaf. What's the symbol of Canada? Who controls Canada? Through the crown. Rothschild and Rockefeller. All right? Poor Rockefeller only owns 800 banks outright. Who, and so, now notice something here. Rothschild had 5 sons. Their coat of arms had 5 red feathers on it. How about that big charity out there that combines all these other charities with it? The United Way? The original name for it was the Red Feather Fund. Right? They always hide behind philanthropy. The Masons do that too. Oh, we help people. We give out these little popcorn balls to the children at bale mass time. We give them little ornaments so they can hang them on their bale bushes and light them up with Beelzebulbs. Right? They hide behind that cloak of philanthropy. Giving, giving, giving people. And the work of Satan is in their hearts. But in Daniel, I'm fighting the clock here, bear with me. In Daniel chapter 8, verse 23, we're going to see a similitude of prophecy. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, when transgressors come to the full, it's the end, because then God pours out judgment, right? A king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He gets his power from somewhere else. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Think about this now. Is such a one now rising? And through his policy, he's got a policy, right? Change! Also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, craftiness, deceit. And he shall magnify himself in his heart. They asked him one time if he ever thought he was wrong about anything. He said, smiled like this, never. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. His weapon is peace. Peace as a weapon. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. That's the Lord Jesus. But he shall be broken without hand. And then it goes on to tell us what Daniel saw literally made him sick in the last two verses. I look at that guy, it makes me sick. A man said one time not long ago, he was at an Obama rally as a curiosity seeker. And lo and behold, Barack Obama reached out his hand and shook this man's hand. And he wrote and he said, "Stay away from that man." He said, a cold chill went down my spine and I looked in his eyes. He said, "I never saw such evil in any man." He said it was like ice going down his back when he touched his hand. There's something wrong somewhere, folks. Fierce countenance, dark sentences. Let's quickly go over to Daniel 11. Verse 21. "And in his estate shall stand up a vile person," there he is again, "to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries." Is there a candidate right now who's coming in with flatteries? With a message of peace? Not obtaining it the ordinary way. But he has a special agenda. "And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflowing from before him." In other words, he keeps talking about this sweeping landslide he's going to have. "And shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. And he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people." Barack Obama happens to be black. And the black people in this country are 12%. They're a small people. There's talk right now, he's talking about possibly making the Reverend Al Sharpton Secretary of State. Have you ever wondered who he's going to put in for a cabinet? He's already selected them. He demanded to get into the White House to measure for new drapes. He's got this thing all put together. Only God could stop him. Yes, and that's right. Pride cometh before a fall, and he will fall. Now think about it. I found some amazing parallels. You know, years and years ago, there was a prophet, not a prophet of God now, called Nostradamus. Made all kinds of predictions. He was wrong in certain areas. He was right in a lot of areas. Be a prophet of God, you have to be right all the time. 100%. But Nostradamus said the world will end in the year 2012. Now, strangely enough, the calendar of the ancient Mayans says the world will end in the year 2012. Furthermore, strangely enough, if Barack Obama is elected, his term will end in the year 2012. Now, Joe Biden, the running mate for Barack Obama, flatly stated that within the first 6 months, by the time 6 months has elapsed, Barack Obama will be challenged with a great global challenge. He'll be tested. 6 months. What happens if you subtract 6 months from that four-year term? You come up with 3.5 years, 1,260 days, or 42 months, which is the length of time that the beast would be in control. All right? Taking it right up to the year 2012, when from so many sources, they think, nobody knows for sure, only God knows, but I find this all very interesting. Especially when I look at some of these descriptions. Whoever would stop and think that we would have a candidate by the name of Barack? Look at the word association. They love to play with words, you know, the Illuminati. You know, years ago they had this movie called Sand Pebbles. Do you remember that? Where one of our Navy ships went up the river and got stranded and had to fight it out with the communists and so forth. And then we had the incident right after that with the San Pueblo. Sand pebbles, sand pueblo. They play with words. Iron Eagles with Louis Gossett Jr. How they attacked Libya in the movie. They didn't say Libya, but they showed a map and it was Libya. They just took the words off, the letters off the word, rather. Right after that, Reagan attacks Libya. They make movies to condition the people first. Oh, by the way, did you hear about this woman from down in Arkansas, this young anchor woman? Somebody went into her house and broke every bone in her face and beat her, and if she's dead. She played a significant role in that movie, W, that's playing in the theaters right now. And somebody in the Bush camp didn't like what she did. Oh, they still do things like that. But you know, these word associations, Barack, Iraq, Hussein, as in Saddam Hussein, Obama, Osama. You know, you think of those words when you look at it. Who would think that a name like that, now a name like that doesn't fit with Washington, Jefferson, Adams, Daniel Webster, Hamilton, Obama? And in Kenya, they're calling him their favorite son. You know what they do in Kenya? They chop people's heads off with swords. Kenya is a nation full of blood, and it's Islamic. Indonesia, a nation full of blood, it's Islamic. He spent a lot of time in both places. Spent his childhood in the Indonesian area run by Sukarno and then his successors. Remember Sukarno, the communist? The one who said he wanted to come to the United States and tour the country? And we were playing up to him to win him over. And he said, I will not be satisfied unless you provide three women for me, a blonde, brunette, and a redhead, as my consorts as I travel throughout the country. And our federal government took your tax money and hired three whores, a blonde, brunette, and a redhead, to travel with this man, crossing state line after state line as a violation of the Mann Act and federal law, but he was exempt from it, in order to keep him happy. Well, they still didn't. He was still a communist, still just bad as he ever was. This is the land Barack Obama came from. Are we paying attention to some of these prophecies? Sadly, we're running out of time. But I think we can see Satan's blueprint in all of this. In fact, we may run out before I finish this. I think I got maybe two, I hope I got 2 or 3 minutes. But in the book of Nahum, in chapter 2, where we read about a power that rises up, God said, watch out. And then in verse 2 it says, for the Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel, for the emptiers have emptied them out and marred their vine branches. Have the emptiers come and emptied us out? The shield of his mighty men is made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. There's that color of communism again. The chariot shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation, when the Lord prepares to come again. And the fir trees shall be terribly shaken. The chariot shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broad ways. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightnings. I used to look at this as just a sign, the automobile being a sign. But look at what it's saying. Are we to be invaded by a red, socialistic, communistic power? Are there vehicles to run through our streets under martial law? The Bible tells all of it if we will study it. The shield of his mighty men are made red. Red, the color of Esau, the Idumeans, who became the Arabs and the Muslim nations. Of course, Islam spread to India and everywhere else. But it started in Arabia with the descendants of Ishmael. And now they're throwing off the yoke, gaining the dominion, But the good news is it's only for a little while. And the power of God will be manifested. Our Lord is coming. And there's so much more to tell. I just ran out of time. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, these are trying and challenging times for us all. And if we take this seriously, and I pray that we would, it would cause us to pray unto Thee and call upon Thee, Lord. Time is short. Everything around us declares that Thy coming is at hand. Thy very word, O Lord, that Thou hast placed within us, bears witness to the fact that the end of all things is at hand. Now, Lord, give us great, sharp discernment to be able to see and understand the details of what is happening, that we might be sure and true witnesses against these powers of darkness that have risen up. Help us, O Lord, for there is treachery in the land. The empty ears have come in, and a strange force has arisen. O Lord, be with us now and help us to be strong in the faith and to fight the good fight of faith. For they that do know their God, even in the very last of the last days, shall do exploits. Be Thou with us, I pray, and let Satan not be able to hinder us. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen.